Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the don't nearly view system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social. Welcome to another Scrum Again by the Attacking Scrum podcast. As you may have heard last week, what we're going to be doing this summer is having a trawl through the archives and bringing you some of the best bits of the Attacking Scrum from over the years. Now, it's been a bit of a difficult season and a lot of doom and gloom around, and around rugby, that is, anyway. Obviously the football is bringing us a lot more joy. But seeing as we've not been able to talk about that too much, we thought we'd go back to some happier times. And this is a podcast that I did with Dan. You may remember Dan Killick as the one-time co-host of this podcast, who we struggled to pin down. And yeah, we did this one just at the end of 2019. So yeah, it was a look back on the 2010s, and we picked our favourite Wales team from that decade. So a bit of a dream team from all the players who'd contributed during that time. So yeah, this is one of my favourite ones. It's actually the last time me and Dan did a face-to-face podcast, would you believe? So hopefully we're going to rectify that over the summer when we come back to bring you the Wales specials. But I hope you enjoy this one. As I say, I look back at some happier times and some of our favourite players. There'll be more of these to come. Apologies, this one is a bit late. But yeah, had another little girl last week, so that took care of any spare time that I may have had. But as I say, lots coming up over the summer. So yeah, make sure you stay tuned to the Attacking Scrum, and if you want to do us a massive favour, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and or wherever you get your podcasts. That'd be massively helpful and help other people find it ahead of next season. Thanks for listening.
So Dan, end of a decade, you know, you think of all the things that have happened during that time, Brexit, Trump, Boris Johnson, the Attacking Scrum wasn't a thing, you know, you go back to this time 10 years ago.
A lot more time then.
Yeah, and we do have a lot more time then. And obviously we don't have kids.
No.
Warren Gatland was a constant throughout that entire time though. That's nuts to think of it, isn't it? That's not what we've been used to growing up with Welsh rugby. You know, we've been used to sacking coaches just before World Cups and chopping and changing. You look back at the previous decade where we had Ruddock, Scott Johnson, Gareth Jenkins.
We love the change. Are we going to go back to that?
Henry Hansen. Look at that. Like the 10 years before, you had Henry Hansen, Ruddock, Johnson, Jenkins, then Gatland at the tail end of it. And then this decade, you just had Gatland.
We need tissues. This is teary.
It is a little bit, isn't it? But during that time, Dan, this is our opportunity to have a look back and celebrate not only Gatland, but also the best 15 players who played for Wales during that time. So this is our Wales team, the Attacking Scrum, Wales team of the decade for... So what was it be? 1st of January 2010 through to the 31st of December 2019. All the stuff that's happened during that time on the pitch. So we had Grand Slam in 2012. We've had two Rugby World Cup semi-finals, Grand Slam in 2019, and of course that amazing win over England to knock them out of their own World Cup.
2015.
Beating the old enemy 30-3 at the Millennium Slam Busters.
Singing on the pitch title. That day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Told that a few times.
I thought you meant metaphorically, but you actually were. So all of these things that have happened during that time, do you have, before we get underway with the side, do you have one of those memories that is your absolute favourite? I know full well you're going to say singing on the pitch because it's the only one you remember.
Now. Yeah. It was special though, because the English anthem was so loud. Because if you remember how many English fans they brought over, and I, off the first note, I was thinking, Mike, it was deafening. And we were told we had to sing. You know, you had to sing both anthems, but obviously didn't give it as much.
Miming that.
I honestly thought, I don't know how we're going to take this up. And then our anthem went off, and it's been said, isn't it, it's the best anthem that there's ever been. So, and then the performance, it was special, but there was something brilliant, absolutely brilliant, about the 2015 knocking England out of their own World Cup. I went, part of it is the backstory, so I ended up going with a group of bankers, went for a bite to eat beforehand, and they were... You know, they were really sort of talking up, you know, how England were gonna sort of do a job, and I just stayed fairly.
Mate,
quiet.
I do the same in that scenario.
You can't give it.
I don't know if it's because we live in England, but I'm just like, keep your head down.
Yeah,
I don't do any of that. Yeah, you know, even when we win, I'm like, keep my head down. I'm gonna enjoy this. I'm gonna enjoy this to myself. Like,
just enjoy it quietly.
When you get
in the house, just like, come on, just jumping around the place, you beauty. But it was because I was the only Welsh person there, and then. Yeah, I don't, you know, that kick, Lloyd put it in. There was still so much to do, wasn't there? And then...
Was there part of this that I know I give you stick for being the second biggest member of the Lloyd Williams fan club after Bryn Mawr, but is there part of it, because he's a Cowbridge boy, and, you know, you've grown up in the same place, is there part of it that made it extra special that it was, you know, one of your own, if you like, who put that kick through?
I think it was a nice... It was nice, but no, it was basically just the fact that, you know, knocking England out of their own World Cup was such a big, that's huge, isn't it? And we were really under the pump.
Do you know what the thing was as well? Like, after that game, England could have got out of that group, could have still got out of the group if they'd beaten Australia. But at no point after we'd beaten them did I think they were going to beat Australia. I thought that is such a crushing victory. They're melting under the pressure of their own.
Yeah, you kind of knew, didn't you? As soon as the whistle went, that was it for them.
And that was fine. I think that's what made that performance so special, was everything was stacked against us, and all the players who were off injured, the players we lost in the lead up to the tournament, and the players who went off during that game.
You could see how much it meant to Gatland, couldn't you? And he literally properly lost it. You know, he had a massive smile. He was, you know, he sort of
really emotional post-match speech as well.
It was.
It's not what we've come to expect.
Yeah, so I'd have loved to have seen what it was like behind the scenes with him. It's just massive. That leads us on to your greatest memory.
Well, that one was brilliant, and obviously the Grand Slams were phenomenal too. I was in the stadium this year for the Ireland game, which was strangely serene. It was pretty special, but again, I didn't say it. But at half-time, I was like, won this game. We've beaten them. And it's very rare that you have that as a Wales fan. And so that was special. But I'm going to go for the 2011 World Cup. Just the whole thing, there was a sense of belief. This young squad, and you know, obviously we've had Sam on the podcast, and you know what a big fan I am of him. But I just felt like he was playing out of his skin, and... He led that team brilliantly, and even though we lost to South Africa in that first game, I just thought, oh, this team could be on for something special here, and to get to the semi-finals and come so close. That one, you know, even though this time around we didn't lose a game until the semi-final, in a way, this 2011, I felt way more excited about, and way more like there was a real sense of belief. I thought, oh, God, you know, what if we're actually going to do this? Or maybe it was because of the first time it had happened, but I look back at 2011 and I was just so excited about the whole thing. and to really have kind of come from nowhere. We didn't put up any trees during the Six Nations that year. And it was just like, oh God, they've turned up. And from the first minute of that South Africa game, I thought, this is a set of players who are really up for it. And that sense of belief, I look back so romantically on that, yeah, on that tournament.
It was a special time, wasn't it? The combinations that we had as well. Some combinations that, we'll
stay. Which leads us beautifully on, Dan, to our team of the decade. We'll start with loosehead prop, and then we'll work our way back into the back line.
Yeah, go on then. Although right. I always start with the backs, but we'll
start with the forwards.
We'll go normal.
And I think the criteria for this is it's got to be on their overall input for the decade. You know, so I think it's got to be how much impact they had during that time, 2010 to 2019. If you see what I mean, so it's not just about, you know, one player being the greatest in their position. It's about kind of what they contributed across the whole period of that time, I think. So start with loosehead prop, which actually is, I think, a very easy position, because
is there anyone, is there?
It is, yeah. And you know, I remember picking this side 10 years ago, just texting my brother on New Year's Eve, and it was the same choice at loosehead prop, and that was the melon.
Absolutely. Gethin Jenkins. What a man.
Incredible. Just again, Giving us some great memories during that decade.
So good.
None more so, in fact, than in 2011 and that outrageous solo try he scored against Namibia, which is just incredible. I love a loosehead prop.
The cut back through.
Yeah.
Oh, that was brilliant. Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's such an influential side, massive leader, captain Wales. How many caps did Gethin get in the end? Over 100, isn't it?
I don't think there'd be many people arguing against that, to be honest, if anyone at all.
No, I just think he's absolutely on, absolutely nailed on in that position. Another position I think nailed on is tight head prop, and it's got to be Adam Jones, isn't it?
Has to be, yep. Adam Jones. Again, can't see many people arguing against those two.
No, I just think he's, again, in terms of the influence he had on the side. You know, look at those big games. Talk about that game in 2013 against England. What Adam Jones did to the opposition scrum. And you knew the first moment that Walsh gave that call our way, he was like, we're going to have a good day at the scrum. And
the cheers were as big as the tries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Genuinely, weren't they? Just scrum penalty. Massive.
And, yeah, you know, a big character as well. I think that's another part of it.
Yeah, around the camp.
Yeah.
And he put in... He'd turn up in those huge games, wouldn't he? But there was just a real consistency with him as well. So, yeah, he's on. He's in.
Massive performances. And again, I just think he was such a mainstay there. And again, he would have been in my previous team of the decade as well for the 2000 to 2009 side, just for everything he did from his debut onto that point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how amazing is that? Two absolute stalwarts at...
At
loosehead and tighthead, who have been there for such a long period of time.
It kind of shows, doesn't it, that I suppose how well we did started there, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Really? Hooker, is this slight? You know, obviously Ken Owens, I think, is the first name that springs to mind. Been fantastic in recent times during that position. In that position. We've also had some good honourable mentions for some others within there as well. You know, obviously Elliot's the understudy right now, is doing a fine job and wants to make that shirt his own. We had Richard Hibbard was superb.
Scott Baldwin
did a great job for a while. Hugh Bennett
out for a long time.
Yeah.
Hugh Bennett.
Lloyd Burns, a bit of a cult hero. Mine, obviously not going to make the team Dragons of the decade, man. But you know, was
he semi-pro before?
Semi-pro, then... bricklayer, wasn't he? And you know,
nasty injury. Yeah.
There's been a lot of players during that time. Is it about Ken Owens for you though, or do any of those get close?
It has to be Ken Owens, really, for me. Yep, it's got to be. I mean, Hugh Bennett, I thought was really good during the World Cup, wasn't he? And he just seemed to be everywhere, absolutely everywhere, real menace, everyone's faces. All over the park, his fitness levels were off the charts.
Yeah,
and Scott Baldwin as well. There was you know, he came in and he was a big guy in the front row, did a good job for us, got around the park, mobile, and kept Ken out for a long time. But then, obviously, once Ken came in, it's been his shirt, hasn't it? And he's just, he's given everything every single time.
I think if you think about defining performances during that time, you look at Ken during Rugby World Cup this year, massive performances. Again, you know, taking his body to the limit, never taking a backward step. You look at his performances during Six Nations, admittedly, you know, at times the line out looking a bit shaky, but generally absolutely exemplary during that time. I think the person who would kind of come closest to me would be Hibbard. I think there was a period, again, 2013 in particular, where he was superb in that game against England.
He was.
You know, a great Lions tour as well. So I think Hibbard would be the one that came close, but I agree, I'd be going for Ken as well.
It's Ken. It's the consistency with him as well, isn't it? He's hardly been injured, is he?
Mm.
Just kept on going.
Oh, yeah, don't say things like that, mate. We're undoubtedly going to
Rely on me for that.
Yeah, always rely on you to give us a curse there. Right, so have a look in the second row. Now, the number five shirt we'll come on to in a minute. But the number four shirt, if you look at who partners Alan Wynne-Jones during that time, it's quite a few players, to be fair, who've done a really good job of partnering Alan Wynne-Jones, right?
I've got mine straight away.
All right. Well, so I'll let you run in there. Have you? Right, but yeah, we'll run through. I've got mine, yeah. So, Corey Hill.
Yep.
Doing a fine job of late. I really missed him during the World Cup. See, Adam Beard, you know, I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. But Ian Evans, I think, did a fantastic job during.
Really enjoyed watching Ian Evans.
Real needle, and I think you know, we saw some great rugby from him. He's dual Grand Slam
long
winner.
Long run-ins as well, wasn't
he? Yeah.
And he opened up and got
absolutely
through.
Yeah,
wasn't that one against Italy where he sort of burst through? And
yeah, it was one against Argentina, his debut. Which,
oh, was that it?
Yeah, he made a massive like 8-yard burst. Yeah. I think he's certainly worth a mention, but. The one I would pick would be Luke Charteris.
Yeah, Luke Charteris. We miss him.
Mm.
Some of the performances, when you go back and watch him, you're like, how good was he?
Mm.
Just incredible. I know he's a Dragons man. He looked quite old, didn't he?
He was in the Dragons shirt
because he was so tall, slight. And he just got better and better. He literally got better and better and better. And he was world class at the end there. That World Cup, just...
Which World Cup? Because I think he was great in both, to be honest. I think he was great in 11, I think he was great in 15. But for me, particularly 11. Because I agree. I thought, I remember watching him at Dragons going, he's good.
I think both, to be honest, for me. Looking at it, he you know, and you just think, oh, hang on, I'm not quite sure. And then you go back and watch it again, you're like, God, he's doing so much. And he's in the second row. Like, round the park, you know, his tackling stats, weren't they?
Mm.
The way in which he was disruptive in the line out, the stopping the mauls.
That's the one for me.
It was just something he couldn't... He did everything.
Yeah. And again, defining performances. Think of that game against Ireland in 2015, Six Nations, where he put in what they said was the record amount of tackles. I know they changed the figure about 15 different times. But again, I was in the stadium that day and it was... I think Warby was man of the match, but... Charteris just did not stop tackling all day, on top of the work he's doing in the line-out and defending and driving more.
Well, and the scrummaging as well. Yeah. The scrummaging, we were so solid, weren't we? And that's going to take it. The amount of effort that's taken out of a second row from scrummaging as well, then he's doing all those other parts. I just think it's such a difficult position, and he made it look easy and got better, which leads us nicely on to the next man.
Well, it does. I mean, actually, quickly, before we do that, honourable mention for Brad Davis in there.
Bradley
as well,
Davis,
who we haven't, who we haven't mentioned. But again, some massive performances. It feels like Bradley Davis has been another one of those players who's been around the length of time, Gethin Jenkins. But I think he actually made his debut in 2010. Certainly in 9, yeah, either 09 or 10. So, you know, very much this decade has been his one in the Wales shirt. So, again, a definite shout for him. But... Yeah, I mean, the number five shirt, this is a guy who's been around forever. I think 2006 he made his debut.
Hopefully he'll stay around forever.
I mean, his debut in 2006, Alan Wynne-Jones.
And, that's so long.
Still going,
is still going strong now. Grand Slam winner in 08, Grand Slam winner in 12, Grand Slam winner in 19. Two Rugby World Cup semi-finals, a Rugby World Cup quarter-final, and even one out in the group stage for good measure. I mean, is there anything you can say about Alwyn Jones that hasn't been said before?
No, there isn't. And another guy that's getting better as well.
Is he Wales' greatest ever player?
He is for me.
Really?
He is the best Welsh player there's ever been. You think of the length of time that he's played for as well, and the consistency of in his performances every single game. He's outstanding. It just isn't a game where he isn't. It's quite remarkable.
I mean, it's a massive claim, isn't it? Because you have to look back to the 70s and the glory that went with that. But it's very difficult for us again because we never saw those players play.
From what we've seen, though.
From what we've seen, I think he definitely is. But it's very hard to compare eras, you know, particularly professional and amateur. But I just think if you look at the impact that a player had on a side, I think Alwyn Jones has that impact on the Welsh side. You know, perhaps more impact than someone like Mervyn Davies had, or a Gareth Edwards, or a Phil Bennett. So I don't know. I mean, it's impossible to say.
Yeah, it's impossible.
The greatest Welsh player.
It's potentially unfair. You know, it's different, isn't it? Mm. But for us, he's got to be there.
Feels like a suitable time to take a break before we go on and have a look at the back row. So we'll be back to talk about the back row and, of course, the backs after this very short break.
I'm Sam Warburton, and you're listening to the Attacking Scrum.
Welcome back to the Attacking Scrum Welsh Team of the Decade. Back row now, Dan. We've had some fantastic players during that time. Of course, Warburton, Tipperick, Faletau, Moriarty, Ryan Jones, Shingler, if I missed out of there, probably a few more. Dan Lydiot. Who is going to be the makeup of this back row? And I tell you what, I think you can't just pick it has to be a functioning back row for me. Do you know what I mean? You can't just pick the best three.
You've got to have
three.
A balance.
I think you've got to have a balance in there. Let me start you off with this, right? Tipperick and Warburton, could they play that well together, or were they the Lampard and Gerrard of the Welsh rugby back row?
I don't think we saw the best of them in those positions, but I feel they could definitely play six and seven.
Mm.
And I think you're the same on that, aren't you?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen it on a few more occasions, actually.
We did see some good performances from them.
Again, 2013, the England game was Wolverton six, Tipperick seven.
And it was kind of, that was almost before we saw that style of six and seven playing together.
It was before
so
the...
it would have been revolutionary.
It was before the...
The Hooper and Pocock, yeah. So I do feel the balance would be right with those two.
Yeah, I do. Do you get the best out of Sam Warburton, though, if he's doing more of the donkey work at six? Is it better to have him with a Lydiot-style player doing the chop and then Warburton can concentrate on getting over the ball?
It did work so well, didn't it? The Lydiot, Warburton and Faletau. But I can't leave Tipperick out. So for me, Lydiot's going to have to be left out,
right?
Which is a huge call.
I think this is going to be the biggest talking point of this podcast, actually, because I think Lydiot, Warburton, Faletau, as an iconic back row. Again, right? I know I'm getting all teary eyed about 2011,
aren't you?
But they were so good. They came from nowhere during that time, and fast forward to 2015 and they were still doing it. But then, you know, that's half a decade, isn't it, really? You've then got to look at the back half of the decade and the style of rugby changed, and people expect, you know, I think the way that rugby changed, you kind of expected more from a six than
you
than
did,
Lydiot.
Yeah. There was an expectation, wasn't there? And well, they needed to as well. The six needed to do more. And Lydiot did carry more, didn't he? He developed that and offloaded a little bit more. But when you then compare him to Tipperick and what Tipperick does, I just think Tipperick can do everything.
Someone we haven't mentioned here, Dan. Josh Navidi. Now, I know he's only been in the squad for maybe 2 years, you know, since like kind of 2017. but the rise he's had during that time. You remember that game we went to against the All Blacks in 2017? We watched Autumn International there. Well, again, supposedly Steve Hansen went straight into the dressing room of Gatland and said, where did you find that seven?
Who is that guy?
And this is a guy who has all of the riches of New Zealand rugby and the number of sevens they've got. He goes in and goes, where did you find that guy? And every performance he's put in since, he just seems to get better and better and better.
And we're not the same side with that. We don't play as well without him, do we? So for me, because of he hasn't been there for as long, that's why I'm not. Okay. I think he misses out. But yeah, I mean,
let's try and solve this selection dilemma then, right?
We need to.
Number eight is Toby Faletau.
Toby Faletau,
undoubtedly, 100%.
Ryan Jones was incredible, wasn't he? And I don't know, there's something special about Ryan Jones when he went six as well, pushed up in the second row. But he's just going to miss out for me, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's close, actually. Look, Toby, whenever he's been fit, has worn that shirt since his debut.
It's something romantic, though, isn't there, about Ryan Jones?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, fantastic, fantastic servant. But again, I think Ryan's best rugby was 2005. Yeah. And, you know, he did a cracking job in 13 and in the squad in 2011 and stuff. But Toby throughout that time has been the best number eight in the world at points. Yeah. You know, it's between him and Kieran Reid and Billy at certain points. But throughout that decade, he's been almost since he pulled on that jersey, world class.
For me.
What, best eight in the world during that decade?
Yeah.
I do actually.
When I sort of stopped there and thought, hang on a minute, that's a massive call. Yeah. But yeah. Because he's been playing for us as well.
So he's nailed on at eight. Warburton is in there as either six or seven. And then I think you have to ask yourself this question, right? Do you go for the longevity that Tipperick has brought to the side, the fact that he's been in and around that squad the entire time and brought some brilliance? Or do you go for the fact that the highs that we had with Lydiate, Warburton, Faletau outshone the highs that Tipperick had in the seven, you know, the performances that Tipperick had in the seven shirt?
Tipperick all day long for me.
I'm going to go Tipperick as well.
Thought you were going to
loved Lydia, and actually, you know, that was an amazing back row, but again, the romantic in me would have loved to have seen Warburton and Tipperick play together a bit more. Because
that's something we'll have to do in the new year as well, is a romantic.
I've actually been thinking it.
Matthew Morgan's in there, I know, at 10.
No, I'm not playing at 10 because I'm actually picking him on the wing.
We'll definitely do that in the new year.
Right, let us have a look at the backs then. So, scrum halves that we've had during this time.
Dwayne Peel.
Peel didn't play this decade, did he? If he did, he was past his best, mate. Peel's best was 2005 and a little bit after.
Big fan of Peel.
Yeah, love, fantastic player.
Wrong decade.
Yeah, if we were having this conversation 10 years ago, quite possibly. But his successor in a Wales shirt, Mike Phillips, had some big performances during this decade.
Huge performances.
Reece Webb had some pretty spectacular performances during this time.
Yeah.
And Gareth Davis, lest we forget, has turned up in the biggest of occasions.
Always delivered, really.
The England game in 2015, the Australia game in 2019. He knows where the whitewash is.
He goes under the radar a little bit, doesn't he? Sort of like, you know, people, you know, we sort of harp on about, you know, Webb and missing Webb, but he really, really gives a lot, doesn't he?
I think Reece Webb is a better player. Here's the point for me. Reece Webb is the best of those number nines in terms of ability.
As an out and out nine.
Yeah. Passing, kicking, game try scoring ability, game management. Reece Webb is the best nine out of those.
I agree.
However, if this is about what you've achieved in a Wales jersey,
and the best competitor.
The best competitor turning up on the biggest of occasions, I think it's between the other two. Which is desperately harsh on Reece Webb, but we've missed him through injury and through him playing abroad for the defining parts of his career, sadly. So I think it's between the other two. And For the ultimate big game performer, I'm going Mike Phillips.
Mike Phillips. It's tough.
Lions in 2013. That England game in 2013.
That Lions.
2011. You know.
Is that when he ended up in the scent? When he ended up.
No, that was 09. Again, in the wrong decade. But yeah, I want to go there,
don't I? That wrong decade.
We can have a look back at that at some point as well.
That performance move when he slipped, when he started in the centre. Yeah. Happy with Mike Phillips.
I'm going Mike Phillips with a definite honourable mention for Gareth Davis.
You go to war with him.
Yeah. Right. Now, 10 is an interesting one, Dan. Start of the decade, we had Hook and Steve Jones there. Again, I feel like we saw the best of their rugby the previous decade. Hook's still playing, of course. Then Reece Priestland in 2011 and 2012.
Really got the backs moving.
Arguably got the backs moving better than anyone else has in that jersey.
Yeah.
Then you've had Dan Bigger throughout that entire time as well. Not always starting, but putting in some big performances. Then you've had Gareth Anscombe kind of leading the Grand Slam charge in 2019. Who are the contenders for you?
For me, it's down to one man.
I think we're going to agree on this.
It's Dan Bigger.
Absolutely.
It really is. He is. He's delivered. He's given his all. He's always been there. And whether it be sort of just a massive kick, massive tackle, there's been some huge game-changing moments.
Massive tackles, kicks. Luke Charteris, mate. Second row. Yeah. If rumours are to be believed. But
in the shower, yeah.
But all joking aside, yeah, I think Dan Bigger is not, again, we talk about romantic, you know, the romantic way that I love.
He's doing a few romantic bits over in England.
There's some nice, again, his highlights reel is looking.
It's more romantic than people think, though, I think.
It is, but there is also a certain romance to someone who's able to take his game to another level. And in the biggest games, I have never seen a Welsh player, and I include Alanwyn Jones in this, I've never seen a Welsh player in my lifetime rise to the occasion more than Dan Bigger. I include Mike Phillips, Alanwyn Jones, Sam Warburton. I think he's the most confident player that Wales has had during my lifetime. And that shows in those big match performances.
Yeah, and how much does that rub off as well on the team as well? Just knowing that he feels that way.
100%.
It's huge, isn't it?
Here's one for you. If you bump into Lloyd Williams over Christmas, ask him about the 2015 kick, right? Because I've heard him interviewed on this a couple of times. And he says it would have been nothing if Dan Bigger hadn't have slotted his penalty straight off. That's always his response, is that I wasn't the hero that day. Dan Bigger was the hero for slotting that kick. And it's true. You know, you can...
Yeah. It's not a given, is it?
And I think we've been kind of spoiled in Wales. In fact, throughout my entire lifetime, we've really been blessed with wonderful goal kickers.
Jenkins
when I was a kid.
How good was Jenkins?
Possibly better than any of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, even before that, Thorburn. And then, you know, obviously not really
we've
in
been
our
good,
lifetime.
Good
but,
kickers.
You know, then you have Steve Jones. And then you've had, you know, Hook again was a fine goal kicker. And to have Bigger. Yeah, Henson, yeah. To have Bigger, Halfpenny. You know, really we've been spoiled because when those big kicks have come around, with the notable exception of the semi-final in 2011.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, really we've had people to take those kicks. But again, Bigger, just big match mentality always helps you get over the line.
Dan Bigger.
Centres, I think it's a bit
Daniel
easier.
Daniel Bigger.
I was fortunate enough to coach him for... just under a decade of the Ospreys. It's Daniel Bigger. Knocked over my drink there, but never mind. Centre partnership, I think, is a bit easier. And I think it comes down to one combination who've been virtually ever present throughout that time. Roberts and Davis.
In. Anyone else to mention?
So, I mean, Parks has done a fine job in the last couple of years.
Scott Williams
has brought some brilliant moments.
Big, huge moments.
One of my favourite moments, in fact, that we haven't even mentioned as a Wales fan in 2012.
The rip.
And then, not just the rip. To rip Courtney Laws and then sprint 40 yards with a kick chase to score.
What a kick.
Yeah, perfect.
I love his kicks as well, actually, Scott Williams. They're really delicate. Such a massive man. Yeah. But
again, I was in the stadium that day, made myself very unpopular with a whole set of England fans sat around me. And he scored that try in that same game in 2015 against Ireland. He's put some huge performances particularly off the bench, Scott Williams. So certainly an honourable mention for him, honourable mention for Hadley Parks. But really, if you look at the bulk of that decade, it's been Roberts and John Davis. Let's start with John Davis. Just all-round, all-time Wales great for me.
Wales great, and he has been the best in the world in his position. And there's not... Okay, we've mentioned Toby.
Mm.
There's not too many that have been would be in a world 15. Yeah,
and I think at points John Davis is.
Yeah, John Davis, Toby, Halloween.
Mm. Roberts, I feel a bit for Roberts, right? Because he's still playing now. Was kind of the big, almost like the poster boy of Warren Ball, and in a way suffered for that. I think there's been points where Jamie Roberts probably could have done a job in a Wales squad.
Yeah, and I think he thinks the same.
Yeah.
I don't like the Warren Ball, you know.
I think during that
time... The way it's labelled that.
Yeah, and having a crash ball centre is no new thing. You know, you look at size. So, Scott Gibbs was a crash ball
centre.
It's
always been around. Yeah. It's effective.
It is. You know, you've... Yeah,
and always will be, actually.
South Africa have had crash ball centre after crash ball centre. And he did a massive...
Well, they crashed through this World Cup, didn't they, and won it?
Yeah, exactly. He did an absolutely brilliant job for Wales for a long period of time. And that's why he's in this side. You know, some huge performances defensively and in attack.
Again, of the game line.
Bang, bang, bang. So, yeah, look, those two nailed on. Back three now, Dan.
Back three...
Who's going to make the shortlist?
So the shortlist, Shane Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although he only around for, you know, a year or so of that period, but again, lit it up.
You've got to have him there, though. Still.
Okay. So Shane Williams. Yeah.
Liam.
Of course.
Halfpenny.
Yeah.
George North.
Anyone else, you think, during that time? Again, honourable mention for Josh Adams, I would say.
Josh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Do we have him in there? Even though it was a very short period of time, but there was some impact there from him.
Yeah. I've got my three.
Anyone else you want to throw into that contention?
I'm trying to think, actually. I mean, is there anyone else we've had during that time? I'm struggling to think if we've
That's probably the main...
I think they're the main protagonists.
Okay, I've got...
All right.
Halfpenny.
Agreed.
Yeah?
I think he has to be.
Has to be in there.
Yeah.
Has to be in there.
When Halfpenny's been at his best, Wales have won things. So he's in there, and he's in there at 15.
This is not easy.
Liam Williams is in.
On the wing?
Yes, on the wing. I prefer him as a fullback, but...
But he can still, as you said about Blent, he's fine on the wing.
Yeah.
Well, he's incredible.
He's incredible on the wing, yeah. I would have Liam Williams in there.
Okay, so we've got Halfpenny, Liam, and the final berth on the wing, you go North.
I am going North, right? And I'll tell you why. Because it's very fashionable to bash George North right now. And, you know, I think he's got a fight for his place at the moment in the Wales side. Obviously he's been injured since the semi-final, so hasn't had that opportunity, and we don't know when he's going to be back. But when he is fully fit, Josh Adams, Halfpenny's still going to want to play for Wales, you've got Liam Williams, and you've got a crop of youngsters coming through, people like Owen Lane, Rhys Sammet, who we've mentioned a couple of times this season. You know, there's going to be competition for position during
Ashton Hewitt.
There's a lot of players who want to get there, and it's become a bit fashionable to bash George North, but from his debut in 2010, where he scored a brace against South Africa, stunning World Cup in 2011, fine Grand Slam campaign winning season in 2012, instrumental in title win in 2013, and incredible performance for the Lions, including one of the all-time great individual Lions tries
during 2013. So, and that's all in 3-year period. And he's had large chunks out through injury. And during that time, I don't think he's let anyone down, really.
The amount of tries he scored, his stats are very good, aren't they? It's just there's been a few a few missed tackles. And you're probably right, I suppose, in that it is at the moment a little bit fashionable to give him a little bit of a knock. He's young as well, isn't he? Mm. You think when he came on the scene as well, he was
18.
Yeah, he's been around for a long, long time.
Mm.
So, yeah, when you put it like that, he got it uncomfortably.
Someone else we have to discuss there again, we forgot off that list. And someone again who it was fashionable to bash and who scored a hell of a lot of tries, Alex Cuthbert. Now, when Cuthbert had bad days, he had some really bad days. But
when he had some good days, they were really good.
2013, 2012.
He was instrumental. A devastating finisher, wasn't he? It was really good watching him as well, wasn't it? Some of those tries were lovely. Yeah, he definitely needs a mention. You're right. We're glad that we did.
All right, then. Well, that is the side. The only thing that is left to do is run through the side before we get to this final couple of points of housekeeping. Gethin Jenkins, Ken Owens, Adam Jones, Luke Charteris, Alan Wynne-Jones, Sam Warburton, Justin Tipperick, Toby Faletau, Mike Phillips, Dan Bigger, Jamie Roberts, Jonathan Davis, George North, Liam Williams, Lee Halfpenny. Some side that.
Coached by
Warren Gallen, the one thing we know. Who's goal kicking out of that for you? Halfpenny or Bigger?
Halfpenny.
For
old time's sake.
All right, for old time's sake. I'll let you have that decision. Is there even a discussion over who captains the side?
No.
Alan Wynne-Jones.
You're going Warburton there?
No, I am going Alan Wynne-Jones. Look, I'm sure if you go back and listen to the podcast from 2 or 3 years ago when Sam stopped captaining Wales, and I said, actually, I think at points we probably missed him as captain. And I think he's a sensational captain. But as a leader and a figurehead, I think you've seen what Alan Wynne-Jones does to that side. So, you know, even though he's only really been captain for a couple of seasons, and Wolverton was for a lot longer, I'm going to go Alan Wynne-Jones.
There's a good few captains in amongst that side.
I tell you what, actually, isn't you look there? At that, you get him as a captain.
Yeah.
Ken Owens is a, you know, captain Scarlets a huge amount of times.
Charteris is captain.
Adam Jones has captained his side as well, hasn't he? He will have captained club sides over the years.
Lydiot's captain the Osprey. He's not the side.
Tipperick captain, Warburton captain, Toby captain.
Yeah.
Phillips must have captained at some point.
Bigger has.
Yeah.
Jamie Roberts has.
Yeah.
John Davis Fox, has. Yeah, he has.
Amazing.
Liam hasn't, has he?
Not sure. But, I mean, look at that side full of leaders. And I think that in part is why Wales have been so successful during this decade.
A great decade.
Look, final point then, Dan. If we're sat here as blokes in our mid-40s in 10 years' time, how will we be looking back at this next decade? Will we have had one coach in Wayne Pivac during that whole time? Will we have had the same level of success? Oh,
just to bring it down a bit, I think we'll be looking back at this time and it'll be really fond memories, won't it, of a wonderful period of Welsh rugby. We're going to be entering a period of flux really. Maybe that's to be expected as well, because we've had so much consistency with all the coaching staff for 10 years. There is an air of an optimism and excitement, though, around the place, isn't there?
I think so.
But I think with that's going to come some losses, but just hopefully not too many.
Well, it's been a hell of a 10 years, and even if the next 10 don't bring as much success, we'll always have these 10 to look back on. And that feels like a good time to have a good New Year drink. Cheers, Dan.
Cheers, Jed.
Sports Social Podcast Network.